Live from Chicago, this is Bruce Dumont with our Beyond the Beltway analysis of national politics, featuring occasional injections of rumor and innuendo, all offered up by our panel of political insiders, pundits, power brokers, public servants, and most importantly, plain-speaking Americans from coast to coast. Tonight featuring commentary by conservative Tom Roser, liberal Clifford Kelly, Republican Chris Roebling, and Professor Art Sear of Carthage College. Our program tonight coming to you from our home base on State Street, that great street in Chicago, where our toll-free lines are open at 1-800-723-8289. That's 1-800-723-8289. If you'd like to email us a comment, give us an email or send us an email at btbtalk@aol.com. And if you'd like to join us on the World Wide Web, www.beyondthebeltway.com. Well, the Daily Kos is one of the most influential blogs in American politics. And the publisher and the editor of the Daily Kos is at odds with Barack Obama. He said there is a line between moving to the center and stabbing your allies in the back out of fear of being criticized. And of late, he's been doing a lot of unnecessary stabbing. There's been a lot of criticism of Barack Obama by those on the left, most recently because of his suggestion last week at a press conference that he is revising, perhaps, his position on Iraq after he goes to Iraq, talks with the generals, that maybe there will be a revision in that policy. He had another follow-up press conference, a couple of hours later, a make-do, if you will, a do-over, because there was some confusion as to what message he was really sending. Cliff Kelly, a veteran talk show host from WVON Radio, nice to have you with us.
Pleasure to be here.
Long-time friend and supporter of Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. Is he selling out, or is he doing what every Democrat's got to do and move to the center?
You got it. He's not selling out. Anyone and all of you are familiar with politics. How you run a primary is certainly different than how you run the general election. His big fear here, however, is this is a little different in that he has brought a lot of people into the process that would not have been there otherwise. So they may not understand that. You guys do, but they may not understand that. The worst thing that could happen to him, he's going to gain supporters from doing what he's doing and moving to the center, but he's going to lose a lot of these folks, some who have never even participated in the elective process. So I don't know where he's going to end up on that. But
Tom Roser joins us. He is our card-carrying conservative, veteran talk show host as well, follows us on our flagship station every Sunday night. Tom, nice to have you back.
Nice to be back.
Now, he's moving, but he's moving in your direction. Are you endorse him tonight?
I agree with Cliff. I mean, he certainly isn't he isn't satisfying me, and if he ever satisfied me, I'm sure he'd lose from the standpoint of the constituents of the Democratic Party. He doesn't satisfy me, certainly, on spending and taxes. He doesn't satisfy me on the social issues. But
revising his position on Iraq, that would satisfy you.
I sort of give him credit because, I mean, this is something that, after all, I think a lot of candidates running for president changed their position. And one guy who didn't is McGovern, and look what happened to him. So, I mean, I think it's reasonable to say, but, you know, any thought that he has moved to the right in order to placate some of my constituency, I think the issue is going to be spending, and it's going to be taxes and social policy.
Art Sear also joins us. He is a political science professor at Carthage College. He runs the Clausen Center, also a syndicated columnist with Scripps Howard.
Thanks.
Nice to read you. You're now read in how many newspapers around the country?
Scripps Howard goes to about 350 papers around the
country.
And
how many of those actually read you then? Over 300, right?
At least
everybody,
400,
that's probably
I'd say,
where
Bruce,
they go.
Yes.
They get their Scripps Howard paper, they go right to your column.
Well, I'm just sure glad that you read it, Bruce. Thank you very much.
Well, it's nice to have you with us. Now, as you look at Obama, is he just being realistic? I mean, isn't it common sense that when you go and visit a war zone after 910 days and you meet with the generals, it is possible that you're going to have a different perspective having been absent for 910 days.
Sure. He's obviously a very able politician who's gone a very long way.
And voters don't understand that?
In a short period of time. No, I think voters do understand that, and voters also have opinions. And the one ace in the hole for McCain and the Republicans, as far as I'm concerned, is defense and national security. Polls show the public has moved in Democratic with the big D directions, except when it comes to defense, where Republicans are still very highly regarded, and McCain is clearly exploiting that, most recently and effectively in Colombia.
Chris Roebling also joins us, a conservative, a Republican, a consultant, a crisis management advisor. Is he doing the right thing politically?
I don't think so. I think that Barack Obama is opening a credibility gap about as wide as the Midway Plaisance, which is the front lawn of the University of Chicago. Barack Obama has changed his position on the death penalty, on guns, on welfare reform. He's on the air now with a TV, his first flight of TV, national TV adverts that talk about his support for welfare reform. Well, that's fine if he's got a record of supporting welfare reform. He opposed welfare reform, and his very first sponsored measure at the state Senate in Illinois was to trim back on welfare reform. So I think what we're going to talk about tonight probably, or what I'll get back to, is the credibility problem for Barack Obama.
Do you agree with that, Cliff?
Well,
is
no,
that,
he's always
is that
been,
the downside?
Unfortunately, he's always been for the death penalty. That's no change on that.
He had a big change on that when the Supreme Court ruled on the child rape case.
He said he was for that. He was for the death penalty. He was against what the Supreme Court did.
No.
Unfortunately, he was, because I'm totally against the death penalty. I don't care what the issue is.
I understand.
But in your particular case,
yeah. Is the movement towards the center, which is what
it's a smart
politics
thing
101. But yeah, sure. Again, is it opening up this other issue, as Chris
no,
is saying?
No, I don't think so.
I think it's a credibility issue.
If you had a more intelligent electorate, maybe so. What people are concerned about is a pocketbook. You know, look in today's Tribune, when people can't find Iraq, they can't find Iran. I'm not even sure if they can find the United States. That's not what they're thinking about. McCain is lucky that the war is not the big thing now. As Tom mentioned, it's the pocketbook, the expenses. The other thing is, of course, he may be able to pull troops out. If we are to believe what they're telling us, al-Maliki just said, we've got control of everything. So if he really does, it said the Shia and the Sunni, they're getting along great, and we don't need anybody. So he may be able to pull them out and not risk anything blowing up.
Tom?
You know, I don't want to contradict Chris Roebling, but as one who's lived a longer time than anyone else at this panel, I remember Franklin Roosevelt running in 1932 saying, I accuse the Hoover administration of being the worst spending administration in history, one which has piled bureau upon bureau and commission upon commission. I shall not do that when president. Well, of course, when he became president, he understood the thing. I personally don't trust a guy who doesn't change his position. I mean, if you have a guy who doesn't change his position, I'm frightened that he's an ideologue.
But this is a candidate who held himself out to the voters throughout the primary as two things, different and better. And he said he had a transcendent politic, that he was going to get out of what we've been used to. This is a person who has imposed on himself a higher standard, and I think he deserves to be judged by that higher standard. I don't disagree with the points that you're making, and I understand the extent to which people have to trim their sails after their party primaries. We all understand that.
Sure.
But what you are seeing in Obama, and this is not a Chris Roebling or a Tom Roser, this is that guy Koss, who runs his blog, who is beginning to call out Barack Obama for being Barack Uterna.
Yeah, we've got to be back. 1-800-723-8289. If you're a Barack Obama supporter, are you happy with the changes? Do you want changes? And do you understand that as candidates learn more about the issues, maybe there's some changes, maybe there's some nuance? 1-800-723-8289.
You've heard the horror stories about meth. It's a powerful, dangerous, and highly addictive drug that's having a serious impact on our communities and horrible effects on families across the country. But there is reason for hope. Treatment for meth addiction is available, and it works. All it takes is someone to care. If you know someone using meth, get involved and help them get on the path to recovery. For more information, visit methresources.gov or call 800-662-HELP. Sponsored by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
It's time to stop what you're doing and go red for women.
Go red.
Start loving your heart today. Visit goredforwomen.org.
Go red.
And take the Go Red Heart Checkup. Get to know your own heart.
Go Red!
The American Heart Association invites you to help stop heart disease.
Go Red!
To Go Red for Women and give your heart the love it deserves.
From Seattle, Washington to Worcester, Mass., you're listening to Beyond the Beltway. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Barack Obama obviously does not agree with some of the national assessment that may have flip-flopped or, as he's described it, revising his position. Here's what he did say. I have seen no information that contradicts the notion that we can bring our troops out safely at a pace of 1 to 2 brigades per month. My first day in office, I will bring the Joint Chiefs of Staff in, and I will give them a new mission, and that is to end this war. Mm-hmm. Now, is that a significant change from based on what he's been saying?
Sure it is. And
is it just because he didn't use the word 16 months?
No, I think it's a significant change, and I think that's a similar change to all kinds of campaigns. He's a little more honest than Richard Nixon was, who said he had a secret plan to end the war and nobody ever was told it because he didn't trust them.
You know, I talked to some people in the campaign, and I told them what they really ought to show, because it got no press, were these 12 retired flag officers, admirals and generals, saying that they would rather have Barack Obama as the commander-in-chief. And one of them said it was great. He made the comment, it'd be great to have a commander-in-chief to know something about the Constitution. That got blown off because it was the same day Ferraro made that comment about the only reason he's where he is because he's black, which I agreed with. If he hadn't been black, he would have already been the nominee, you know. But nothing about that. A picture in the Sun-Times, nothing in the New York Times. And the picture didn't even, the caption didn't say why they were there.
Well, this is Art's area.
Push that.
It's Art's area more certainly than mine. But every time he speaks about foreign affairs, there is a huge possibility that he is going to say something wrong. And that has been shown on the Israeli policy when he goes to AIPAC and he makes a boo-boo about Jerusalem and several other very, and it's not a boo-boo, it's a very serious problem, so serious that he has to do the makeover routine, which
McCain,
is now getting
McCain
to be a part of that.
McCain made some big mistakes, too, relatively.
You know, McCain,
totally
the difference
mistakes.
Between these two is that McCain has been around for 30 years on the national stage, and people know
it.
Who he is and what he's about. Barack Obama is brand new, and people are shopping,
and they're
not
sure.
I just want to get, Art was mentioned, I want to get Art to respond to that. Within your colleagues within academia, I mean, do they feel that Obama is comfortable enough? on the world stage and in the discussion of world issues.
Well, academics in the social sciences and humanities tend to be Democrats, and there's a lot of enthusiasm for Obama. I must say it's much more student enthusiasm than faculty and student enthusiasm. We're not living in a time
Do they view him? I'm talking about your colleagues in academia. Do they view him almost as a student, not as a colleague of professorial level who has deep knowledge and awareness of the intricacies of foreign policy?
To reinforce the point, he's an unknown quantity, and that can be a plus as well as a minus. There are politicians like Kennedy and Jimmy Carter who have come out of nowhere to great success. He did misspeak himself from a practical political point of view, I think, on Palestine before he talked to AIPAC, and then he tried to recover ground at AIPAC. In the age of the Internet, politicians are plagued and haunted and can be crucified by inconsistencies. He has not been a good debater, as intelligent as he is. I think Senator Clinton dominated the debates, and he has been given to misspeaking, which, again, for a Democrat on national security can be fatal.
Tom Roser.
I just want to leave this program, if I never do another one, I want to leave it with...
Don't leave right now, Tom.
The Roser theory.
Don't leave immediately.
The Roser theory.
We're finally getting it.
We'll write this down.
If you can shut up, I'll...
People are pulling over by the side of the road over America.
The Roser theory is this, that the eye of the electorate is sleepy. It follows sports. It follows the Sweet 16. It follows everything else. The guy who told me this was Hubert Humphrey. And what he said is this. Toward the end of the campaign, be it either debates or something else, the eye opens up and makes a judgment. And then the eye closes. The eye, right now, it doesn't matter what McCain is. People decide he's not an extremist, he's worthwhile, he's good, but they're looking at Obama. They're looking at Obama, and John McCain can do whatever he wants. The public is interested in a guy who came from nowhere, and he's there, and that sleepy eye will open up, be it on a debate or anything else, and it'll form a judgment. Now, it almost formed a judgment on Jeremiah.
Right. Yeah.
But it made the qualification correctly that it was not Obama, it was Jeremiah. It almost
that
made
was
a
during
judgment
the
on Michelle when she said she was not very proud of the country until now. But I want to tell you that in those debates, and I think Art Sears said it.
Yeah.
He's not a great debater,
no,
but he's a very talented guy, and the eye, the sleepy eye, will open, and it'll form a conclusion, and that's going to be it.
Yeah. And McCain is not a great debater either.
But McCain has an ability to compete in the town hall format.
Right. No.
Obama said yes to town halls, so McCain says, fine, let's have some town halls, and Obama does another U-turna and says, no, I'm not going to do the town halls.
He does well in town halls, too.
But you're right about
the debating, but I think the two of them in a town hall meeting
would be good.
Absolutely, it would be great. And I think if Obama doesn't accept that, rather than that structured business, I think he'd be foolish not to.
It would be a service for them to take the town halls, but he's done a U-turn. And this is a guy who says he wants to talk to Ahmadinejad, but he's afraid of doing a structured debate that is moderated by Britt Hume or anybody from Fox News.
Britt Hume, I don't blame him.
Let's go to Mark listening to us in Kansas City, listening to us on XM Radio. Nice to hear from you tonight. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. I want to make a comment. I was listening to Obama's speech in Fargo this week, and he still backed his 16-month evacuation plan on removing troops. I mean, I'm trying to figure out where the other information you're hearing is coming from. I mean, that was this week that I heard that.
That was version 3. That was in the Butte, Montana for the 4th of July. That was the third... That was after he had had the two press conferences, I think, on Wednesday. So,
I didn't get it.
He was saying that it seems to contradict what this caller had heard earlier in the week.
No, the 16-month thing has been dropped. I mean, that's no longer part of the official formulation.
Well, he may not even have to be 16 months.
I'm just saying he used to
Al-Maliki,
say 16. Now he's dropped.
If we believe
it.
Al-Maliki, we can pull out next week.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
let's go to Jim in South Elgin on WLS Radio and Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Jim.
Good evening. I would like to contrast the media's handling of Barack Obama in the sense that he misspoke. He made the comment about the 57 states, the United States, and then, of course, you remember how everybody got all over Dan Quayle for his misspelling potato because he read the card that was written. This is part of the problem that we have, so I hope electorates could be smart enough, at least those independent people, to kind of see through this media bias.
It's because he's a liberal Democrat he gets a pass on all of those. I mean, he had the 10,000 people dying in the hurricane or the tornado went through western Kansas, and it was like maybe five people died. I mean, he's made innumerable gaffes of that sort, and these are unforced errors that take place when he is speaking casually or off the cuff.
And let me just say that having a personal experience in watching John McCain, again, I want to stress, in 2000, when he was running against George Bush, hearing with my own eyes, I mean, he made mistake after mistake, and the national media gave him a pass because we do have a situation here. We have two candidates that are both media darlings. John McCain, his entire political career has been moved forward because basically there isn't a camera he doesn't love. He's sort of a white Jesse Jackson. Do you ever think of it that way?
I'm trying to figure that one out. But
I think that's a little
If you say so.
That's a little rough.
A big part of politics is cultivating the press. I do think, to be a contrarian, which is what professors are supposed to be, that it was far worse, far more obvious when JFK effectively seduced the press in 1960. I'm not aware of examples of press bias as outrageous as things could be cited.
Mind him seducing the press, but when he seduced some women and the press knew it and didn't report it, that's what bothered me. I mean, you know, all you have to do is read the latest book by Sally Bedell Smith.
You would have rather him been
all the things that are going on, and the media was even serving as a conduit for him.
I'm sorry I set you off, Tom, because I wanted to make one other point. We do have a much more diverse media, if I could elevate the conversation again. Fox News exists. Actually, the Clinton campaign, which was supposed to be such a relentless, ruthless machine, they didn't come up with Jeremiah Wright. It was Fox that did it. And if you feel that Barack Obama is getting a free ride, I mean, you can always turn on Fox News.
Yeah, well, I think that...
And then turn it off again.
I thought it was a legitimate charge at one point. I don't think it's a legitimate,
But they brought it up.
Edward in Chicago on WLS Coast to Coast. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. The state has the highest sales tax and gas tax, and this is the state that Mr. Obama comes from. You can imagine when he becomes president. People are already complaining about these taxes, and they're still going to vote for Mr. Obama.
I hope they don't. I mean, look, this speaks to the fact that he is a faux reformer. He is a false reformer. He's a phony. I mean, let's just I am going to say he is a phony. I will go back to Jerry Brown when I was interviewing him years ago on BEZ. I had him on, and he said, this guy Clinton is a fraud. And that was at the time of the Michigan primary. And I will tell you, this guy Obama, to the extent he holds himself out as different, better, and reformer, is a fraud. It is a fraud on the public. And this is only one example. He has supported Todd Stroger, a machine hack, son of a machine, wonderful guy, but who was also a machine hack. And
this is the president of the Cook County Board for people listening around the country.
And Todd Stroger has brought about a series of taxes, et cetera, that's a local story. But the national story is this. There are 20 to 25 votes in the state Senate that the Hillary campaign never found, where Barack Obama was voting in ways that would materially benefit Tony Rezko.
Now, that's totally untrue.
That is not untrue.
No, that is untrue.
I have got the votes.
Well,
I have got
me,
the votes, and I'm
totally
going to show
untrue.
Them to you. He has voted consistently for Tony Rezko.
He has joined, Edward said the whole state.
I will tell you.
The county board president and the commissioners, he didn't have a vote. The commissioners made this the highest tax base. It's not the state. It's Cook County.
Barack Obama.
He's wrong, and so are you.
Barack Obama and Tony Rezko joined at the hip.
He's just giving us some erroneous information.
When was the last time someone offered you a second chance to save thousands of dollars? If you owe the IRS or state at least $15,000, American Tax Relief is offering you a second chance to eliminate up to 85% of your delinquent taxes. Thousands of honest, hardworking Americans have turned to American Tax Relief for the help they need. Look, your tax problem isn't going to go away. In fact, it's only going to get worse unless you get help. Call 1-800-449-1415 for a one-time professional fee. American Tax Relief can get you the second chance you've never had before to save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Get the second chance you deserve and save up to 85% on your delinquent taxes. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation to see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-449-1415. That's 1-800-449-1415. From Austin, Texas to Boise, Idaho, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway. Thank you very much for joining us on this last Sunday night of the 4th of July holiday. Hope you're all making your way home from your holiday back to work tomorrow. And again, thank you very much for joining us from coast to coast and border to border and also on XM Satellite Radio. Joining us around the table this week, we have Clifford Kelly. Clifford Kelly, once upon a time, was a longtime alderman in the city of Chicago. For the last umpteen years, he has been a talk show host in the afternoons on WVON. That's one of the leading black talk radio stations in the United States. Tom Roser also joins us. He is a card-carrying conservative, one of the original panel members on this program, as was Cliff Kelly. Tom Roser follows us every Sunday night on our flagship station, WLS. He is also involved with the Chicago Daily Observer. He's one of the founders and writers and participants in a daily online political column, and also he has your own blog, and probably one of the most quoted conservatives in the city of Chicago and in the Midwest over the last 25 years. Once upon a time, director of government relations for the Quaker Oats Company. Art Sear also joins us. He is the A.W. Clawson Professor at the Clawson Center at Carthage College in Kenosha, Wisconsin, also a nationally syndicated columnist with Scripps Howard News Service. And Chris Roebling also joins us. Once upon a time, executive director of the Cook County Republican Party and is now a crisis management consultant for Jane Thompson and Associates in Chicago. And what else can we say? And not an attorney.
Just wanted to say one thing about Edward to let him know that there are 102 counties in Illinois, and Cook is only one of them.
Right, so, and so, yeah, so to say that Barack Obama is responsible for high taxes in Cook County is not accurate.
No.
Especially as a federal official.
Yes, let us absolutely go to John in Crete, listening to us in Crete. What do they call people from Crete? You're not Crete.
No.
What do they call you, John?
I've
always
know,
wanted to know.
I don't, but I just live here, Bruce.
You just live here, okay.
Okay.
They call him Creepy.
Bruce, thanks for the call. Yeah,
okay.
A commentator said about Obama, he would be a good candidate if he didn't have relations with Reverend Wright. If it wasn't for the bad talk of Michelle Obama, if it wasn't for Farrakhan, if it wasn't for the terrorist errands, and my comment as a Catholic is he would be good if it wasn't for abortion, if it wasn't for homosexuality, partial birth abortion, killing live babies. And I would comment to Tom. Tom, I remember you giving a talk in a loop, and you said about fighting abortion. And we had our backs to the wall in World War II, but we did it. And that we will overcome abortion. But you said you don't like ideologues. You mean you don't like those with ethical principles?
What? I didn't quite get that. But...
Well, yeah.
Anyway, the answer is yes.
Clarify the point, because you got to the you got a big buildup, but I didn't get the last question.
Okay. Yeah. Tom said he likes Obama because he does not like ideologues. You mean, Tom,
you said you like Obama.
Pardon?
Well, Tom hasn't said that he's supporting.
You said that you liked Obama, but again...
this guy's got it wrong.
He flies in the face of some of the ideological issues.
Yeah, I like personally Obama. I interviewed him before he was a superstar, and I enjoyed him very much.
Now we know what we call people from Crete. Too.
I think that the big issue, so far as social conservatives are going to be, is his vote and his killing the bill... Born Live.
Yeah.
That is a serious thing. That meant that it's the Senate, U.S. Senate passed it, but that means when a child is born as a result of a botched abortion, the legislation provides for nutrition and for medical care. And when he was in the state Senate as chairman of judiciary, he killed it. Now, when it went to the federal government and it went to the Senate, Hillary and the Kennedys all voted for it. He's going to hear about that.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to hear about it along with the economic issue.
Yeah, and there's another issue there. There's a credibility issue there again, because Obama is out with the false report that the bill he voted down on the second vote down in Springfield, and all of the insiders are going to know what this is before November, was different from the bill that was approved by Hillary and Ted Kennedy and everybody else.
No, because
and it was not, but it was not different. That's
Jill
exactly
Stanek,
the point I make.
Jill Stanek was a friend of mine. Yeah. Was the author of both.
Exactly. So he has both a problem on the substantive issue about born live.
He didn't just
care,
vote against it.
And he's got a problem on.
But the problem with your candidate is
the credibility.
People want to see change, which is the only reason that he is the presumptive nominee. When you start going back, and he's got a long record of the Keating Five and the legacy to the Naval Appointment, where to the Naval Academy, where he ended up fifth from the bottom of the class. You know, I don't know how you're a war hero when you spend most of it in prison. However, that's what all I'm saying is that
come on,
he's got.
Come on,
no,
that's
the truth.
Cliff,
there's nothing wrong with that.
That kind of comment is counterproductive.
Oh, that's what General Clark said.
That kind of comment is hurting your cause.
I understood what he said. I'm simply saying
you're hurting
that
yourself,
when people
Cliff.
Are looking, no, I'm not. The Kennedy's not saying it. You know, if he wants to disavow himself, I'm talking about as
Obama
a former veteran myself.
Obama should have fired General Clark. No,
he did. All I'm suggesting to you is that there's a lot that can be talked about relative to this, to the presumptive Republican nominee, which is going to come out. Yep. And if people are looking for change, and you look at his votes through the entire administration of the present, then as far as a lot of things are concerned, such as the economy and all the other things, you're going to have to disavow some of those.
I want to ask this question, because you made the very strong point, you know, right to life is an issue that is absolutely at the paramount, you know, in your life. But what has been happening in the last several weeks, and it has happened at a number of times earlier in this campaign, Barack Obama has made a very concerted effort to reach out to the religious right, the evangelical right, whatever you want to talk. He's talking to them about a variety of issues. There is some indication that he may be making some inroads with them, because he talks about his Christian faith. He talks about it in a way that at least appears to be believable. There's questions that certainly come up. Is it contradictory to your position on abortion? That obviously is not satisfying a lot of people. But, I mean, does he not have an opportunity to make inroads? with
well,
the religion? I want to get Cliff's response.
Sure.
Not that Cliff speaks for the religious right.
No.
But there are a lot of very religious African Americans in this country. They take their religion very seriously.
Correct.
Their religion tends to be maybe a little more conservative than Obama's political philosophy. But again, can he make inroads with the faith community?
I think he can, because in all the surveys and polling I've seen, abortion is not a big issue. When we look at the Supreme Court, we're not talking about. I haven't heard anybody yet say, "Well, we got to be careful because obviously the next president's probably going to appoint one, if not two, new justices." But I've never heard him say anything about abortion as the big issue today. You know, we're talking about FISA, we're talking about a number of other things that have been the big issues, the gun thing, and a number of that Tom would be concerned about, a number of things that the court has done relative to business, to the business world.
Well,
so
abortion to me isn't even an issue anymore. But he also last, I mean, he said that he wants to expand President Bush's faith-based
initiative. Yes, he did.
Now, a lot of liberals don't like that, but, I mean, is that a signal that this is not your average run-of-the-mill Democrat, in your view?
Yes, I think his community organizing experience might prove crucial, because actually Kerry's people talked about this in 2004, and as far as I can tell, as is often the case with legislative-type politicians, Kerry never really followed through. But the religious dimension is extraordinarily important with African-American voters, who tend to be strong on law and order, as Cliff and others here know. And Democratic politicians who've succeeded big time, like Clinton, like Carter, in a curious kind of way, Bobby Kennedy in 68, appealed to that dimension very, very effectively, especially Carter, still.
Barack Obama, no question about it, is a churched person. He has been in a church. He appears to have gone regularly. It means a lot in his life. We all understand that. And I'm not bringing in Reverend Wright. I'm just saying he has that background, and he has those things to say. And I think that that's good for the Democratic Party. And that certainly gets him to a place with people where John Kerry was obviously uncomfortable. Al Gore was pretty uncomfortable, although I think they're both church-going people. They just were uncomfortable with that kind of rhetoric. The problem with Obama, when he talks about things like this, is the fact that the record, whether it's at the U.S. Senate or in the state Senate, the record is not supporting him. He was always on the extreme left wing of everything. So now today he's going to have, in church terms, a Pauline conversion on the road to the White House. And he's going to say, well, maybe, you know, though I've been throwing stones at George Bush and his administration and faith-based initiatives for all the time I've been in Washington, all the time I was in Springfield, I'm now going to say, in the light of this upcoming election, maybe it's a great idea and we should increase it.
I've never heard him say it, Chris.
He said it this week.
He's been against faith-based initiatives.
Oh,
that
he has been.
Never
he
heard,
has been.
Because as he mentioned with the situation, as Art mentioned, with his community organizing, it was always tied into churches.
Faith, always never differentiated himself from the far left wing of the Democratic Party.
He has never said, though, he was against faith-based.
I want to answer my good friend Cliff.
Sure.
And the reason I do is that that abortion is a key issue. It has been since January 22, 1973. The emergence of Ronald Reagan was due to the evangelicals and the conservative Catholics. It continues to the point where there is no, on one major party, there isn't anybody who's going to be pro-abort or pro-choice who can get the presidential nomination. Now, when you talk about abortion, a lot of people tune out. But when you talk about born live, talk about a chairman of judiciary who killed the bill when children were alive and born and you can't give them nutrition to keep them, this nurse held that child in her arms until he died. And that law was very important. That is going to follow Obama,
and there is a tie. Reverend Wright was on the board of the hospital.
We're talking about partial birth abortions.
That's different.
It's always okay because that's
different. That is different.
The doctors say that's a late term abortion.
That's serious. That's serious. But this is a live
child. Our calls 1-800-723-8289. We've got a full board. You'll hear them when we continue from Chicago. I'm Bruce Dumont. Thanks for joining us.
For free confidential small business advice, call SCORE at 800-634-0245 or log on to score.org. Every year, thousands of people get help from SCORE when starting or growing their companies, and you can be one of them.
My SCORE counselor taught me how to create a business plan and make sound financial projections so that I could get a small business loan. I don't think I could have approached my bank so confidently without SCORE's help.
SCORE mentors can help with business planning, cash flow management, and market analysis.
My SCORE mentor walked me through the steps of identifying a market, researching the competition, pricing my product, and so much more.
Call SCORE at 800-634-0245 to meet with experts who have been in your shoes.
All I really needed was a sounding board for my ideas, someone I could trust. My SCORE counselor talked me through my business questions and gave me the courage I needed to expand.
If you're a small business owner or thinking about starting a company, call SCORE today, 800-634-0245, or visit score.org for free confidential advice. SCORE is a nonprofit association and a resource partner with the U.S. Small Business Administration.
Back in Chicago. We're going to take calls in just a moment, but I do want to give Tom Roser an opportunity to comment. As I mentioned, Tom Roser over the last 25-plus years has emerged as one of the leading conservative spokesmen in the Midwest. And the passing this week of Jesse Helms, who at the national level was an icon of the conservative movement, your assessment of his role in American politics in the latter part of the 20th century.
Enormously influential, even though he had a kind of a racist background. He started out as a racist. He transcended that. He became a great legislator, full of civility. I mean, you could have fun with him. I mean, you could sit down with this guy, and he was chairman of Ag for a while, and I was a lobbyist for Quick Roads. He was fun. He made a great difference in foreign policy, I think. I think he was the one guy who, you talk about wobbly, that's one guy that was never wobbly.
He was never wobbly.
Would you put him on the same level with Hubert Humphrey?
Huh?
Would you put him on the same level with Hubert Humphrey?
No, I think that Humphrey changed America probably more dramatically than anyone that I've known personally. But because before Humphrey, the Democratic Party was a party of segregation.
Right.
Right.
And when Humphrey took the floor of the 1948 convention,
right,
and people walked out, he did it. His own father said, "Don't do it, because you're going to kill yourself." He's running for the Senate. He changed with that one speech the party.
Yeah.
And I've never known anyone else that's done that.
Yeah, amazing man.
Let's go to calls. Let's go to Robert in Greenville, Tennessee, listening to us on WNOX. Nice to hear from Tennessee tonight.
How you doing?
Okay.
Listen, I heard that one comment, and it really burned me up. When the one gentleman, and I use that very wide and conservatively, because I am an independent conservative, how dare he be a pompous fool and talk about someone that went to prison. I was a 91 Charlie in the service, a clinical specialist. Go to prison, be tortured over and over, have a choice, an easy choice to get out earlier because he was an officer, chose to stay with his men, not for a few weeks or months, but years longer, knowing he would be tortured more, and then became their head person that was there in the prison, orientating new prisoners that came in. This is a hero. This is someone we should look up to. He obviously has ethics and morals way beyond someone like Obama, who defends his preacher, defends his low interest rates getting a home, defends his stance on abortion, and then defends his stance on taxes. I think it's absurd.
Cliff, I think it's very, very interesting that just the other day they showed that one of McCain's prison guards said that they would vote for him because he was so cooperative. This is a guy in Vietnam, and he was one of his guards, and it was in the New York Times, and in fact, some of the local papers saying, oh, I would vote for McCain because when he was there, he was very cooperative and did everything well. So,
Cliff, I cannot believe this. Are you questioning his loyalty to the United States during his...
That's not what I said at all.
All right, that's what
you?
I'm asking.
Well, you shouldn't have to ask. I didn't say anything. I didn't even suggest
that. You said the prison guard said he was cooperative.
This guy, yes,
that implies
cooperative
that
with the prison guard. That's what the prison guard said. Check the internet.
But
you see it or check
the
newspaper.
No. I'm saying, are you using that?
You're going to ask me the same question three times. I just told you no. What do you need me to tell you?
Well, are you implying that he was cooperating with the prison guard?
Damn. Did I say that?
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't. No, you're both
did.
Goofy.
The only thing you're doing,
well, you're
that something
what, all
that
I'm saying is,
I think
anybody in the service would tell you that you want people out
there
online to help you win the war.
He was a man
you want someone to help you win the war, not somebody who's in a prison
alive.
Who has said that he can come out. That's all I was suggesting. That's all I was suggesting.
Art Sear, this is... There's no
appalled.
Votes to be gained by this discussion, is there?
I think it's a big mistake for the Clinton campaign to be pursuing this course.
Obama,
as they clearly,
Obama campaign.
Sorry, the Obama campaign
Kelly.
To be pursuing this
well,
course as they
clear.
Clearly have.
Cliff Kelly.
Yeah, not the
largest
Obama campaign.
Peacetime,
Cliff Kelly.
No.
Largest peacetime,
no, Wesley Clark said
largest
he was a general.
Largest peacetime disaster at sea was the Forrestal Fire. Almost 200 men were killed through explosions that were detonated among the Americans. It wasn't an enemy attack. McCain's missile kicked off and hit McCain's plane, as I understand it. You can see it on YouTube, him crawling out of his plane.
Yeah.
He went into the inferno, was credited with rescuing men. He could have had long R&R. Instead of that, he volunteered for combat missions over Hanoi. You can discuss dispassionately whether a warrior is the best guy to be president, a real committed warrior. I think generally that's not the case. But this underhanded and indirect effort to smear him based on his war record is the kind of thing that can blow up in your face. Frank Sinatra, in 1960, among Bobby Kennedy's many new friends, was good old Frank, who brought him evidence that Richard Nixon had seen a psychiatrist in the 50s for help. And Kennedy said explicitly, immediately, this kind of thing can blow up in your face. We're going to stay the hell away from this. This is a very, very mistaken effort on the part of General Clark and others who are supporting Senator Obama. And I cannot on the radio say with sufficient feeling just how strongly I feel about this.
Let me tell you this. Did you feel the same way of what they did to John Kerry, who, in my opinion, was a war hero, and the way the 527s came after him?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I didn't.
Obviously it worked,
didn't. I want to tell you why. Yeah. Because what they said about John Kerry in those ads has been proven time and again to be true. There are some people who spoke
anything,
at press
anybody
conferences
says
and things
about
like
a
that.
Democrat is bad.
No, that's
you say
not
it's true.
That is
say
baloney.
John Kerry
I beg
wasn't
your pardon.
In the war?
I beg your pardon.
You got to say he wasn't in the war.
Hold on,
say,
but I don't think anybody ever said that about Max.
The Federal Elections
that's
Commission.
True.
The
I don't
Federal.
Think they Max Cleland too.
The Federal Elections Commission has censured the Bush campaign a couple years after the fact. But in 2006, the Bush campaign was censured for these sleazy 527 attacks on Kerry's war record.
Ladies and gentlemen,
stay away
on
from
that
it.
Note, in hour number one, I want to thank our guests. Clifford Kelly's been with us. Art Sear has been with us. Chris Roebling has been with us. Tom Roser has been with us. They were so exciting. They're all going to be back for the second hour. That is, if you're watching us on listening to us on radio. If you're watching us on television, you can only imagine what the next hour of discussion is going to be like, because we will see you next week. If you're listening to us on radio, stay right where you are. The phone line's open at 1-800-723-8289. A lot of callers on the line. A nerve has been touched, and we will deal with it for the full hour coming up. Thanks for calling us, and stay right where you are if you're listening to us in radio from coast to coast and border to border this Sunday night on Beyond the Beltway. I'm Bruce Dumont from Chicago. When was the last time someone offered you a second chance to save thousands of dollars? If you owe the IRS or state at least $15,000, American Tax Relief is offering you a second chance to eliminate up to 85% of your delinquent taxes. Thousands of honest, hardworking Americans have turned to American Tax Relief for the help they need. Look, your tax problem isn't going to go away. In fact, it's only going to get worse unless you get help. Call 1-800-449-1415. For a one-time professional fee, American Tax Relief can get you the second chance you've never had before to save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Get the second chance you deserve and save up to 85% on your delinquent taxes. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation to see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-449-1415. That's 1-800-449-1415.
For free confidential small business advice, call SCORE at 800-634-0245 or log on to score.org. Every year, thousands of people get help from SCORE when starting or growing their companies, and you can be one of them.
My SCORE counselor taught me how to create a business plan and make sound financial projections so that I could get a small business loan. I don't think I could have approached my bank so confidently without SCORE's help.
SCORE mentors can help with business planning, cash flow management, and market analysis.
My SCORE mentor walked me through the steps of identifying a market, researching the competition, pricing my product, and so much more.
Call SCORE at 800-634-0245 to meet with experts who have been in your shoes.
All I really needed was a sounding board for my ideas, someone I could trust. My SCORE counselor talked me through my business questions and gave me the courage I needed to expand.
If you're a small business owner or thinking about starting a company, call SCORE today, 800-634-0245, or visit score.org for free confidential advice. SCORE is a nonprofit association and a resource partner with the U.S. Small Business Administration.
It's time to stop what you're doing and go red for women.
Go red.
Start loving your heart today. Visit goredforwomen.org.
Go red.
And take the Go Red Heart Checkup. Get to know your own heart.
Go red.
The American Heart Association invites you to help stop heart disease.
Go red.
To go red for women and give your heart the love it deserves.
My name is Teresa. I was a good mother. Then I tried meth and quickly became addicted. I abandoned my little girl to chase my next high. 8 months later, my daughter begged me to come home. Her plea made me enter drug treatment. My recovery wasn't easy, but I've been clean for 4 years now.
Meth is a powerful drug that affects everyone. If you know someone who's using, get involved. Treatment is available and it works. For more information, visit methresources.gov or call 800-662-HELP. Sponsored by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Live from Chicago, this is Bruce Dumont with hour number two of Beyond the Beltway tonight, featuring commentary by conservative talk show host Tom Roser, liberal talk show host Clifford Kelly, Republican operative Chris Roebling, and Professor Art Sear of the Clausen Center at Carthage College in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Our phone lines open at 1-800-723-8289, 1-800-723-8289. In our first hour, we talked about whether or not Barack Obama is rushing towards the center and perhaps turning his back on some of those early supporters and some of those positions that got him a lot of support for the Democratic nomination, whether he's moving towards the center, and in doing so, is he turning his back on the left? And that's one of our topics. And also, we got into a little battle over the war record of John McCain and the veracity and the honesty of Barack Obama. We've had two very strong denunciations of each of the candidates tonight. And we've got a full board of lights, so much so that really we've touched a nerve. Let's go to Steve listening to us. He's from Millinocket, Maine. Steve, nice to have you with us tonight.
Yeah, thank you very much. And what I was just calling about, I haven't heard an awful lot said about Mr. Obama's close terrorist friends and how he's trying to expand his ring of terrorist friends, along with he wants to have his little meetings with Iran and the leaders over there and a whole host of other people there. And this man is, in my opinion, and most, I think anybody an intelligent, slight bit of intelligence will know that this man is a danger to this country, worse than anybody in history as far as a presidential candidate.
In what respect do you think he's dangerous?
Well, he loves terrorists. He associates with them. He thinks he can deal with them. He wants to be, this man is a prime target. I mean, the man, he knows, going to be dangerous when you got terrorists endorsing him. And
you're talking about Bill Ayers?
No, yes, sir. Problem. Amongst, I am an Al-Zawahiri Hiri. Osama's bin Laden's best buddy there. People have, put word out they endorse a Democrat in Barack Obama.
Art Sear, I'm going to let Art Sear put your comments in context and also address some of the broader issues of a policy nature that may offend you from Barack Obama.
Well, I'm quite sure he's not a supporter of terrorism or terrorists. I do think this issue is, I don't think it's going to be a big issue for him, but it's present on the internet. It's a constant undercurrent, and I believe he's been pretty skillful in addressing it so far. In the real world, you have to address and deal with powers that are unattractive, inimical, and dangerous. That's why diplomacy is such a tough occupation. I believe Richard Nixon and Henry Kissinger are very durable in foreign. A lot of people don't agree with that, but in foreign policy, and one principle they followed with great discipline was the summit meeting is the end of the game. After subordinates have done all the work, the president shows up as Nixon did in Moscow and Beijing in 72 to sign important diplomatic agreements on arms control and diplomatic recognition. Right. But that's after the groundwork has been done. You've got to beware of the siren song of just having meetings for meetings' sake. Nixon also wrote in one of these many books he did after he was forced from office, in Beyond Peace, which came out in 1994. He is incredibly prescient. He made the point very explicitly that Iraq is very seductive. It's very attractive. We have a tremendous desire to get rid of Saddam Hussein because he's such a dangerous and evil person. But if you do that, you're going to be increasing the power of Iran in the region. And Nixon wrote a decade almost before we invaded Iraq that Iran is our real enemy. I think we can't ignore Iran, and we should be preparing for diplomatic relations eventually, but we certainly should be dealing with them.
Tom Rosa, your assessment of Barack Obama's public utterances about talking with Ahmadinejad.
Well, I think that that he's a new candidate. I feel very tolerant about new candidates because he's come up from nowhere. He has said these things. He's clarifying his stand. I'm always encouraged when somebody's clarifying their stand or more reasonable stance. I thought when he did mention it with Hillary, he was way off base because I know something about it. I was number three in the Peace Corps years and years ago, and I was a Foreign Service officer, and I think that he was far wrong. I'm, encouraged that on some of these things he's changing, and I don't attack a guy for changing if, in fact, he's going to the more centrist position.
Is he, one of the things that's also been, he has articulated in the campaign, although he has said that he wants to get all the troops out of Iraq within 16 months, he has also said that really the focal point of the war on terror is in Afghanistan, and many Democrats who were running for president, many Democrats and liberals who've sat in, you know, on this program have basically sort of implied that if we could just get the troops out of Iraq, which was the wrong war, and shift them over to Afghanistan,
and here,
we would be out there and we would be hawks in that war. Do you believe do you believe that?
No, of course not. As Henry Kissinger said in an interview with Der Zeit or one of the German newsweeklies, it is always easy to talk about the war that you want to be in or the war that you want to win. The fact is that our troops, when Barack was saying all of those things, were in Iraq and he was opposing the surge, which has worked, and he's been wrong-footed on Iraq time and time again. The issue about Afghanistan points up the phoniness and the fraud of Barack Obama. He was the chairman of the South Asia Subcommittee of the United States Senate Committee on Foreign Relations. Now, that is a huge position, which he received by being part of the new Democratic majority in the United States Senate. So you say to yourself, he's always talking about going to Afghanistan. He's always talking about fighting this war in Afghanistan. Terrific. What in the committee did he do about Afghanistan? And the answer is zero, not one hearing by his committee on Afghanistan. He never even looked into Afghanistan to build some kind of record, even if only for the purpose of having a foreign policy record to cite as he goes off and marches to the White House.
You know, unfortunately about Love my Kelly. Friend, one thing, Tom Roser, a conservative who is a good guy and recognizes some good in Barack, Chris, if he does know anything that's good, he won't say it.
I know Barack is the nicest guy in the world.
In addition
to
that, I think at times you're being disingenuous. I wouldn't believe anything you said unless I checked it out. I wouldn't. If you said I was sitting here, I'd say, wait, I'm not sure.
No, but what? What about a shifting? What about a shifting?
Let me
of the
say
troops?
About Ahmadinejad. Well, he should shift the troops. There's no doubt. We should. That's listen. 60 Minutes last week, they are killing Christians in Baghdad. They're hunting them down and killing them. There's a reverend there who is trying to keep a few of them there. They have to meet in secret. Question to the reverend, well, was it worse when Saddam was here? He said, of course not. Saddam's prime minister was a Christian. Saddam ran a secular government. He was no threat to us at all. That was all crap. We shouldn't have been there. We never should have been there. It U.S. senators do this.
What about Afghanistan? Because everyone who has sat in that seat for the last 4 years while this war has gone on, virtually every single person who vehemently opposes the war in Iraq said, well, you know, where we should be fighting the war in Afghanistan, if we were there, we would, you know, we would be where we're supposed to be.
That's because a lot of military analysts have said that they should have, that
but
we should have.
But my question is,
there were more men killed
in
Afghanistan this past week than in Iraq.
And also,
U.S. soldiers.
That's because the surge has been working in Iraq. Afghanistan is part
today,
of,
by the way,
if we had
George
never gone into Iraq, we wouldn't need a surge.
George Stephanopoulos.
Iraq was no threat to us. We supported him against Iran.
George
Remember
Stephanopoulos
that? Remember we
today,
supported Saddam Hussein? You remember that, Chris Robley?
This was the first week.
Nobody's listening to you, Bruce.
This was the first week there was no death. We have in Iraq.
We have built
back
up Iraq.
From Chicago.
You've heard the horror stories about meth. It's a powerful, dangerous, and highly addictive drug that's having a serious impact on our communities and horrible effects on families across the country. But there is reason for hope. Treatment for meth addiction is available, and it works. All it takes is someone to care. If you know someone using meth, get involved and help them get on the path to recovery. For more information, visit methresources.gov or call 800-662-HELP. Sponsored by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
It's time to stop what you're doing and go red for women.
Go red.
Start loving your heart today. Visit goredforwomen.org.
Go red.
And take the Go Red Heart Checkup. Get to know your own heart.
Go Red.
The American Heart Association invites you to help stop heart disease.
Go Red.
To Go Red for Women and give your heart the love it deserves.
The Montpelier Road.
From New York City to Burlington, Iowa, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway, 1-800-723-8289. We've got somebody listening to us on XM Radio in the Big Apple tonight. Charles, let's go to you. You're on the air coast to coast.
How you doing, folks? I wanted to tell you that the night that John McCain clinched the Republican nomination, the night he won the Texas primary, went over the top, went over the 50% mark. And the night that Barack Obama went over the top on the Democratic contest, June 3rd, I think it was, both nights I cheered. I think we wound up with the best candidates in both parties. They both have a history of independent thought. They both have a history of expressing themselves honestly, forthrightly. They both have a history of political courage. And I'm really disappointed at the way this campaign has turned negative. Sure, they both flip-flopped. I'm not blind. McCain flipped on tax cuts. Obama flipped on FISA. Neither of them are perfect. They're politicians, but I think they're good people. I think they're more than a cut above the average candidates we've gotten in either party, and I'm disappointed that it seems like people are going into their automatic modes of bringing the other guys down. This could have been an uplifting and inspiring and an exciting campaign, and I'm still hoping it may get its head out of the gutter.
Tom Roser, you've seen a lot of campaigns.
And I've never seen an uplifting one in my life. Because
yeah, and the idea that
it always gets down to throwing a little bit of mud, and I think, you know, frankly, I sort of like it because it sort of shows the mettle of the person that either throwing it or taking it.
The idea that it's impossible to have an uplifting, inspiring campaign,
I think
is sad.
If Barack Obama would do a Cooper's Union with John McCain the way that he promised he would, and if they
town hall
agreed
meetings.
To a well I say Cooper's that. Union because
I think
I'm in Manhattan.
I think we all
he
agree.
Backed
if
off of
they,
that.
If they would do that eight between now and Election
Great.
Day, it would be up.
Great.
And
not Charles, have any media getting in
right,
there.
Exactly. Asking questions. Charles, I think you're fantastic. I totally agree with you. I hope that happens. I think you are wonderful.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only hope.
Yep.
Yeah.
I hope too. I'm right with you.
I hope so too.
I'm a little surprised that Tom Roser, who's normally so optimistic, has never heard an uplifting campaign. I thought you considered Ronald Reagan quite uplifting.
Oh, I think Ronald
and he avoided Reagan, he avoided negative campaigning.
No, I don't think he did.
And I think
mean,
it's
after
also,
all, he preached the 11th commandment, and who ran against Gerald Ford and caused his defeat? It was Ronald Reagan.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, you know, I wasn't surprised at that.
And okay. I also think there's hope. If you look at the latest Rasmussen tracking poll, it's still showing both McCain and Obama with favorables in the upper 50s and unfavorables
right.
in the upper 30s, low 40s. I still think this can happen.
All right. I hope you're right, Charles.
Thanks
Good
very
call.
Much. From New York City, let's go to Knoxville, Tennessee. Matt, listening to us on WNOX. You're on the air.
Hi. Actually, I have a small problem, and I was hoping that you gentlemen could help me out.
All right.
All right. Initially, I was a Gravel supporter. I know that is the most horrible, atrocious thing to say ever, but I kind of enjoyed Grandpa Gravel coming down from the attic and
Mike
and
Gravel,
Vanessa
Mike
Gallup
Gravel.
Too.
Mm-hmm. Alaska.
That's fine.
Nonetheless, I had initially figured out, well, that's not going to happen. So I went to Obama, and I thought that was kind of an interesting proposition. Of course, then again, as you had stated earlier, everyone sounds good during primaries. So, you know, we had got along, and then the FISA bill came along, and for someone who would extol change as such a pivotal part of his campaign process, I find it absolutely absurd that he would find it to be an acceptable thing to give Pelicos retroactive immunity.
Well, Matt,
is that an inexcusable shift in position for you?
To me, yes, it really is, because it is actually just a complete reversal
right.
of his initial stance on the issue. And I feel, again, for someone who would extol change and, you know, saying that, unfortunately, you know, we may have some problems in our, you know, process.
Yes.
It's a good process, but there may be some issues with it that we may need to wring out.
Matt,
to hear him say that and then to reverse. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say,
Cliff Kelly.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Matt, a lot of people feel as you do about that. It was a reversal. I'm just for full disclosure, I'm a vice chair of the Illinois ACLU. And, of course, you know how we felt about that, the Patriot Act. What it did to FISA, what the Patriot Act did to FISA. Pfizer's been there since for years, but it was okay. What he's doing, and if you go online, you'll see it. He claims that when he's elected, he can change some things that were not. Now, you know, you are the kind of person that I said at the beginning of the show that he might lose based on him trying to go to the center.
Exactly.
And I can understand you being upset about it, because not only did he say he'd vote for it, he said he would lead the filibuster if necessary.
He would filibuster.
So that's a total reversal. However, he says as an excuse. Now, whether you want to go online and see it and whether you want to buy that, but, you know, Gravel, I think, was great, too. But Gravel, Kucinich, people like that, they can say anything because they know they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're not going. But he said a lot of good stuff, so I can understand why you felt that way.
I just want to point out that I agree with Cliff on this point. I think that Barack is taking some of the shine off of that original status that he had as fresh, new, different, better, and people are going to be disillusioned. And I think that could take away some of the momentum.
And, Matt, thanks, that's what you have to do when you go from a primary to a general election. But I hope you can stay with him.
Thank you very much. And from Knoxville, Tennessee, let's head further south. Let's go to Austin, Texas. Carl, listening to us on KLBJ.
Oh, KLBJ.
Hello, you're on the air, Carl.
Oh, no, this is Kevin from Michigan.
Kevin, I'm sorry, Framington, Farmington Hills, Michigan, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Listening to us on XM Radio. We'll be to Austin in just a moment. Carl, go ahead.
Okay, I just want to comment, it's really been pathetic, the lack of, just how much McCain has been getting a free ride, not only with you guys, with the media. The media is fascinated with Barack Obama, and the conversation is always, always dominated about Barack Obama. And one of the things that I just wanted to ask you guys about as far as records, as far as McCain's, why is there no criticism or scrutiny over the fact that since 2001, McCain has voted against, I believe it's 10 different bills increasing veteran benefits. Yet he's supposed to be the pro-military candidate.
Well, I'll tell you that. I'll tell you that.
And if the answer is about,
I'll tell you
if,
that.
If it's because of earmarks and pork belly spending, then, it really leads me to question, how long has he been in the Senate? Does he understand that, sometimes you gotta, for the greater good, make compromise, just as many of the Democrats are on FISA.
Let's let him respond, and then we'll go back to you for the final word. Chris Roebling.
Well, yeah, I mean, John McCain has a principled position against excessive spending, has a principled position against earmarks. He's the only senator never to get, request, or take an earmark. And John McCain is going to keep an eye on federal spending, and he has a record to speak to that. I think you just sort of made light of the fact that John McCain, in his Senate tenure, and even going back to his U.S. House of Representatives tenure, has consistently worked across the aisle, whether it's an issue of judicial appointments or immigration reform or election funding reform, whatever the heck it is, he has consistently worked across the aisle, sometimes taking positions that have really separated him from the mass middle of his own party. Now, you might not like that. You might want to belittle it, but that is real independence. Our last caller from New York was saying Barack's been independent. There's simply no vote record to illustrate any independence in Springfield or in Washington.
A veteran? A veteran?
No, sir.
Okay.
But I guess my point is,
and I understand your point.
I guess my point is, guys, is that, this GI Bill that passed, it wasn't partisan, it was bipartisan. And he was away from that as well.
Yeah.
So I guess actions speak louder than words.
Art Sears got a comment for you, and then we're moving on.
Veterans groups, including ad hoc groups, have been very visible in his campaign, and especially early on in the primaries, that network was extremely important to his victories. I think you're right that he hasn't been out front, for instance, on things like mismanagement of the Veterans Administration, but I think that's because his support for the war trumps that. The bill, the comprehensive bill that you just mentioned, is extremely important because it's part of Jim Webb's effort to become vice president.
Let's go to the south side of Chicago. Darius is listening to us on our flagship station, WLS. Go ahead, Darius.
Yes, I feel that all you guys need a healthy dose of truth serum, because in regards to this Iraq war, bottom line is, they're over there to confiscate that oil, set up a puppet government, situation that's totally falling apart, and it's basically discredited the president, who's been there 8 years in regards to the economy, with all this experience that he has. And the situation that we have in terms of the nation being over $9 trillion in debt, and the fact that Democrat and Republican alike would vote for $164 billion appropriations bill to earmark even more money to a lost cause. And nobody's taking him to task and talking about Bush over the crisis situation that this government is in and he's still the president. I mean, he's still on the public payroll, and he has no answer for anything. He has all this experience, and this is one of the issues that you guys are going at Barack in regards to the fact that he hasn't had that much experience in the Senate. But yet we got a president with 8 years of experience, plus he was a governor, and we are teetering on the brink of total bankruptcy. And nobody suggests.
All right, let's let Art Sear tackle that one. A lot of experience with this team, and they're screwing up.
Obama has used that line effectively, and JFK did the same thing when Nixon tried to cast himself as the experienced candidate in 1960. And indeed, in 1940, Wendell Willkie lost, but Tom Rosa will remember that he was the guy who came out of nowhere and stressed his lack of political experience. I'm glad the caller mentioned oil, and I hope it might make you feel better. Both the candidates have shown some real courage on things related to oil. Obama has refused to go along with this notion of a tax holiday in the summertime. I think that shows real guts. McCain has consistently supported free trade and is very detailed in his proposals concerning nuclear and solar and other fairly complicated energy sources. So the caller might feel a little better if he considered those things. I know the world's going to hell. We all think that, you know, at least part of the time, but it's not really.
Latest tally I've seen on Barack Obama's new programs is over $800 billion, and that is going to be funded by tax raises when we're paying $4.50 a gallon for gas.
Tom Roser's got to say he's got to take a pass because he's going to be on in his own show in about a half an hour. He's got to head over to the station.
Great
Tom,
to
by the way,
you,
on behalf of everybody here, your 80th birthday is coming up, so a happy birthday for the big 8-0, Tom Roser.
The station manager really appreciates that.
Bruce Dumont, back
he's
shortly.
Told him he's
Chicago.
All 30.
Great. When was the last time someone offered you a second chance to save thousands of dollars? If you owe the IRS or state at least $15,000, American Tax Relief is offering you a second chance to eliminate up to 85% of your delinquent taxes. Thousands of honest, hardworking Americans have turned to American Tax Relief for the help they need. Look, your tax problem isn't going to go away. In fact, it's only going to get worse unless you get help. Call 1-800-449-1415. For a one-time professional fee, American Tax Relief can get you the second chance you've never had before to save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Get the second chance you deserve and save up to 85% on your delinquent taxes. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation to see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-449-1415. That's 1-800-449-1415. From Newark, New Jersey to Lebanon, Oregon, you're listening to Beyond the Beltway. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Tom Roser has left us. He will be hosting his own show in about 35 minutes on our flagship station, WLS Radio in Chicago. Clifford Kelly is here. He is a veteran talk show host in the afternoons on WVON Radio. Chris Roebling is here. He is a crisis management consultant for Jane Thompson and Associates. And Professor Art Sear joins us. He is the A.W. Clawson Professor at the Clawson Center at Carthage College and also a syndicated, that's in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And he is also a nationally syndicated columnist for the Scripps Howard News Service. We have lots of callers on the line. Let's go to them right now. Let's go to Andy, listening to us in Deerfield, Illinois on WLS. Go ahead, Andy.
Hi, Bruce. In the previous hour, Mr. Kelly made an implication about Senator McCain essentially collaborating with the North Vietnamese, and he used as a reference the guards at the prison camp who said that. I quite bluntly did not believe that, and I did a Google search on, and I used four words. I used McCain, vote, guard, and Vietnam. And when I got a whole bunch of listings, and they all say basically the same thing, but I will quote, the man is, Mr. Kelly, is just 180 degrees off in his implication. The director of the prison was a retired colonel, Tran Trong Doyet, and he said he knew Mr. McCain, the son and grandson of U.S. Navy admirals. He described him as, quote, frank and humorous, and, quote, with a strong personality, and said they became friends. We talked about women, love. These were stories between two men, not between a director and a prisoner. He sometimes came to my office and taught me English pronunciation, the American accent. Regarding political views, we considered him extreme conservative. When arguing with me about the U.S. war in Vietnam, he never admitted that the United States made a mistake. So the idea that McCain is refusing to admit that the United States made a mistake and was advocating the justice of his position, and then the implication that he was somehow collaborating with the Vietnamese is just a slander.
Well, Andy, you're right. I never said that. That was Chris who's trying to suggest that I did. I never said it. Yes, you did.
Wait, you asked me,
was that what I was saying, and I told you three times
I never said that. What is it that you were saying then? What is it that you were implying by the story?
I was making a statement. I don't know what he's right. What he read is correct. What I read was a little more than that. The general said that he would vote for McCain.
Yes,
that's what he said. I didn't suggest that
he was cooperating with the enemy.
I never said that. That's what Chris asked me three times. You said he was quoted as saying he cooperated. And he didn't cause any trouble. That's what I read.
We can play the tape, Cliff, but it's...
No,
it's,
well, you can play the tape. I didn't say that.
Play the tape. It's on the tape.
Go ahead, Andy.
All I may say, sir, is that many people heard what you said and interpreted it the same way.
All right, well, that's not what I meant. And let me say, I was simply going on General Wesley Clark's comment that being a prisoner of war does not necessarily make you a good commander-in-chief. And I have a lot of faith in what General Clark did. In addition to all the other, as I mentioned earlier, Andy, all of those retired flag officers who said that Obama would be a much better commander-in-chief than
No, but just so we clarify, though, because what...
I'm not going to say it again. I told you what I said. Now, if you want to play the tape and say that I said something else... I can't beat a dead horse. I can't make it any clearer than I did. I did not mean that he cooperated or collaborated with the enemy. I never said that. All right.
Well, I might point out that General Clark was relieved of his command for dishonesty, quite bluntly.
Amen.
So if you're going to quote General Clark, let's remember that he is a somewhat tainted.
Well, those twelve retired flag officers aren't tainted, Andy.
They made some great comment.
Google that, will you?
Google that and let us know what they said.
We got
three different stories here.
Yeah.
Let's put them all to bed.
Yeah.
You made the comment about General Clark. Cliff was referring to what the guard said.
Right.
I
didn't say I believed anything.
You don't believe what he said.
No, I don't.
You don't believe based on what the guard said, and based on your interpretation of what the guard said,
mm-hmm.
You do not believe that John McCain collaborated with his captors.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
All right.
He's clarified it. Yeah. Art, you have any further comments?
I went to Hanoi in 1994, one time I've been there on my own, and remember vividly and have a photograph of a very attractive primitive wood carving by the pond with a plaque by the pond where McCain came down. He landed in the water, which saved his life when he bailed out. And the Vietnamese guide that I had talked to me about the prestige of this American warrior who showed great courage. And in recognizing that, he was already in the Senate. I was vaguely aware of him, but I'm quite convinced it was sincere on their part. They weren't trying to get
Andy,
recognition.
Andy, thank you very much for your call. We do appreciate it. We're going to move on. Let's go to David is listening to us in Muncie, Indiana on WoWo. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Well, I'm still not happy with Mr. Kelly. I want to say that in 2003, I stuffed envelopes for Wesley Clark. In 2004, I voted for John Kerry, and I wasn't happy about the Swift voting ads. A month ago, I think I probably would have voted for Obama. But, you know, recently he said that he had to change his mind about campaign financing because of fear of Swift voting. And now people like Mr. Kelly are Swift voting.
No, I'm not saying anything
about
that.
You said that being a prisoner of war is not being a hero.
Did I say that?
You said that.
I was repeating someone who said it.
When
General Clark, who's been a very high-ranking officer and spent his life in the military, when he said it, I was simply repeating what he said. Now, if you don't like what he said, you don't like what I said, that's your prerogative.
But
I don't have anything else to say about it.
Can I get in on this?
Hold
on. Chris Roebling's got a comment. With the caller. And caller, I appreciate what you say because obviously your leanings are different from my own. I will say this for me. I'm not speaking for you, the caller. But Cliff, I appreciate what you just said about your comments this evening. Let me just change the subject very, very slightly. There has been a planned and orchestrated set of talking points out of the Obama campaign used by, I think, 7 or 9 surrogates, of whom Wesley Clark last Sunday was the most prominent and the most recent, each one of which has been to diminish McCain's service as a man-at-arms for the United States of America. Now, I am not saying that every person who's ever been a lieutenant commander in the Navy is therefore qualified to be president. And I'm not saying every POW is qualified to be president, nor am I saying everybody who crashes, unfortunately, is shot down in an airplane is qualified to be president. What I said on TV, I do this with WGN, you look at the makeup of the man, and there is something heroic about this guy, whether or not you support him or like him or disagree with him about everything. Mm-hmm. And it is demeaning, and it is another Brock Uterna ploy to try and say himself personally, I respect McCain, but his surrogates go out and try to eat the guy's lunch.
It's no different than
it's
Ferraro
disgusting.
Coming out and bringing up the race issue. It's the same thing. You know, Clinton's people, I'm sure, told her to go out there and do that. When Ferraro made the comment that he wouldn't be where he is, if race comes
she
into
got
this
fired.
Too.
Wait, she was fired.
Mr.
Absolutely,
Kelly.
She was fired.
David,
I was fired too. So was the general.
David,
so what's the difference?
Cliff,
that kind of thing
Cliff.
Is going to happen. And if you think that McCain's people aren't out there doing the same thing, you know what I'd like to do is have a show
Cliff,
about
that
him.
Does, that
the whole show
right,
has
Cliff.
Been about Obama.
We're doing
not,
this
let's
about...
Have, let's have not. A show about McCain. Let's have a show about McCain. I'd be happy to ask you a lot of questions about McCain.
No, I think... Yeah.
I don't know how many ways
Cliff,
I can answer
Cliff,
this question.
Cliff,
you have made a portion of the program about...
You're engaging in the same behavior yourself.
It's the same people.
You've made part of the program about McCain, and again, you know, you've been called on an erroneous statement, and
that's
and,
true.
And David's got a comment.
And that's because
and
of Chris saying I said something I didn't say right at the beginning.
Go ahead,
well,
David.
You asked me three times. You asked me the same question.
You're questioning his heroism, which I think
I'm not questioning his heroism.
In that he could have left. He could have not been tortured.
Please, I'm not questioning his heroism.
You said that being a prisoner of war, that being in prison, that not fighting, you said that does not make you a hero.
No, I didn't say it didn't make you a hero. I said it does not make you...
When you don't have to be, does make you a hero.
All right, very good,
sir. By the way, for those people in the Chicagoland area who are confused or you've just joined the discussion, as you all know, the first hour of the radio program is the local television program.
That's right.
So tonight at 10:30, you can all tune in to WYCC Channel 20, and you can hear what was really said. You've heard the You've heard the semi-retraction. You've heard the clarification. You can hear the initial volley, and you can determine who said what to whom, and you will make the final decision based on that. David, I've got to move on. You've got your dime's worth. Thanks very much. Let's go to Crosby listening to us in Birmingham, Alabama on WAPI. Nice to hear from the Deep South tonight.
Thank you, sir. Quick three comments, please, hopefully without interruption. One, I am of the opinion that if Senator Obama is elected president, the Islamic terrorists will see this as the surrender of the United States of America to Islamic terrorism. Second, this surrender will be used by Islamic terrorists to recruit additional forces to fight the United States and other Western nations. Three, I think that the defeat, the surrender, will greatly increase the probability of attacks within and on the United States and other Western nations.
Crosby, stay right where you are. Those are fighting words. I'm sure our guests want to respond to them. I'm going to put you on hold so you can defend your comments, but we do have to break. 1-800-723-8289. Cliff Kelly is chomping at the bit to respond, and you'll hear from him as well as Chris Roebling and Art Sear when Beyond the Beltway continues from Chicago.
For free confidential small business advice, call SCORE at 800-634-0245 or log on to score.org. Every year, thousands of people get help from SCORE when starting or growing their companies, and you can be one of them.
My SCORE counselor taught me how to create a business plan and make sound financial projections so that I could get a small business loan. I don't think I could have approached my bank so confidently without SCORE's help.
SCORE mentors can help with business planning, cash flow management, and market analysis.
My SCORE mentor walked me through the steps of identifying a market, researching the competition, pricing my product, and so much more.
Call SCORE at 800-634-0245 to meet with experts who have been in your shoes.
All I really needed was a sounding board for my ideas, someone I could trust. My SCORE counselor talked me through my business questions and gave me the courage I needed to expand.
If you're a small business owner or thinking about starting a company, call SCORE today, 800-634-0245, or visit score.org for free confidential advice. SCORE is a nonprofit association and a resource partner with the U.S. Small Business Administration.
Bruce Dumont back in Chicago. We continue, and Crosby from Birmingham, Alabama, remains on the line. Cliff Kelly, you wanted to respond to the
I can't respond because I don't agree with his premise that if Obama is elected, that it will be a surrender to Islamic terrorists.
Explain why, Crosby.
Well, Senator Reid has said we have lost.
Who said that?
Senator Reid. Majority Leader, Utah.
Harry Reid,
Okay, he said we've lost.
Yeah.
Congresswoman Pelosi has said
we've lost. We have lost.
Yeah.
Yep. We have had several primarily Democrats say the war is lost.
Right.
Yeah, but Obama never said that. And what's that got to do with Islamic? Let me tell you why you've got Islamic terrorists. Because we took out Saddam Hussein.
No, they
exist. Completely false.
Let me say something. Anybody who knows anything about the country knows that once we did what Iran has always wanted. Don't forget, we supported Saddam Hussein in a war. Remember that?
Yes.
Do you remember that, Crosby?
Islamic terrorism.
Do you remember that? Can you answer a question? Do you remember we supported Saddam Hussein?
Yes.
All right. What we did when listening to people like all of these weirdos and al-Shalabi and all of this stuff that we know was all a bunch of lies, we went in and took out Saddam, which was the best thing that Iran wanted. And when we did that, that brought in all kinds of Islamic terrorists to fight us in Iraq. So that's what's created it.
No, they
There is no time at all. The only time that that Barack has ever said anything about leaving after he said he would see what was happening. And if you listen to al-Maliki just yesterday, he said that the Iraqi government has taken over.
Hold a second.
Yeah.
Art Sear, you want to respond to what Crosby has said?
Sure. Keep in mind these things are a lot more complicated than they seem sometimes. In 2004, Osama bin Laden issued one of his very rare audio tapes denouncing President Bush. Did that mean he supported John Kerry? I don't think so, certainly not necessarily. Whatever evil these people are guilty of, they're not stupid. Osama bin Laden is very smart. There are characteristics of the Bush administration that I believe have been helpful to al-Qaeda. So I think these flat statements tend to oversimplify a pretty complicated reality.
I want to ask you a question. Go ahead. Quick question to you, then I want to ask another quick question.
Well, I'm just going to say I'm 180 degrees from Cliff, and I'm probably 150 from Art. It's a very complex situation. But Barack Obama and the left wing of the Democratic Party, which he represents, is basically about treating international terrorism, Islamic or anything else, as being a law enforcement issue. The reason we have not had an attack on these shores for the last 6.5 years is because this administration, with very little help from the left wing of the Democratic Party, I might point out, has gone overseas, found these guys, and exploded them wherever possible. And that's exactly what we should continue to do while, and I've said this for 18 years when I had my own TV radio show, we ought to be engaging across the board with the moderate Islamic states from Morocco to Indonesia, all over the place, because the problem that they face in their home countries, this is not a justification for terrorism, is that they have been absolutely excluded from economic and political development.
They are Republicans who have said that we will be attacked again.
They probably will be attacked again.
Right, so what they're doing
what
is
we
not
are
the
trying
case.
To do
that is not going to prevent it. They just haven't wanted
what
to.
What we have done.
They're doing all we can do, but you can't prove a negative. You cannot say that they didn't do it because
I'm
of what's going on.
I'm not talking about the future. I am talking about what's
so
going
I'm
on right
about
now.
What's happened in the last
and by the way, I want to ask everybody to respond to this, and Crosby, I'm going to ask you first.
May I make just one quick comment, please?
Very, very quickly. 5 seconds.
Back hog down. We get out, Osama bin Laden says the U.S. can't take a punch.
Right.
Imagine what happens after we leave Iraq in 2009.
Here's my question to you, all right, and to everybody. There was a lot of flack when Charlie Black, 10 days ago, made the comment about attacking the United States.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That there would be some benefit to John McCain. McCain dismissed that comment. Didn't dismiss Black, but he just said that was inappropriate comments. Here are facts. Bill Clinton is elected in 1992. First attack on the World Trade Center, 1993. George Bush is elected in 2000. Attack on World Trade Center in 2001. Both were new presidents of the United States. They were both new presidents. I would argue that regardless of who the president is next January 20th, there will be some incident because the world likes to test new presidents, period, regardless of their philosophy. Art Sear, your response to that comment?
I think that's very astute, and I agree with you. Bob Pape at the University of Chicago, who's been on this program and does a lot of work on terrorism, and his colleague and mentor John Mearsheimer, have both made the point that al-Qaeda, unlike Palestinian terrorist groups, al-Qaeda is not agitated. They don't need constant action. They have a very, very long view, far longer than those of us sitting around the table, mm-hmm. I think it's fair to say. And they're not anxious to have a hit constantly. I think your point about timing is very perceptive.
Cliff right. Kelly.
Mearsheimer, a great, great book on the Israel lobby and the effect that it had on foreign policy, which...
what about the attack?
You may set off some more phone calls Mr. Kelly.
Cliff, what about to the point? What about to the point? What about to my point?
Oh, I don't know whether that, you know, it be coincidental.
Well,
it may happen.
Right.
All I'm saying is that the call is ridiculous to think that Islamic terror... Maybe he thinks Barack is a Muslim. There are a lot of people who unfortunately
Crosby, what do you think of my point?
Do I get to answer?
Yes.
Oh, I agree with your point.
All right, and Chris Roebling.
Well, I think that the next president will be tested, and Barack Obama, so far, shows very little understanding of what he is dealing with.
On that note, we have to say farewell to Chris Roebling, who's been one of our Republicans. Tom Roser has already left us to get ready for his show. Art Sear has been with us from Carthage College, and Clifford Kelly has been our liberal talk show host from WVON Radio. This program is a Genevieve production, produced in association with WLS Talk Radio and Genevieve Productions. Tom Veracruz and call screener Kevin Fuller helped make this program possible this evening. Until next week at this same time, this is Bruce Dumont. Good night from Chicago. When was the last time someone offered you a second chance to save thousands of dollars? If you owe the IRS or state at least $15,000, American Tax Relief is offering you a second chance to eliminate up to 85% of your delinquent taxes. Thousands of honest, hardworking Americans have turned to American Tax Relief for the help they need. Look, your tax problem isn't going to go away. In fact, it's only going to get worse unless you get help. Call 1-800-449-1415. For a one-time professional fee, American Tax Relief can get you the second chance you've never had before to save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Get the second chance you deserve and save up to 85% on your delinquent taxes. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation to see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-449-1415. That's 1-800-449-1415.
For free confidential small business advice, call SCORE at 800-634-0245 or log on to score.org. Every year, thousands of people get help from SCORE when starting or growing their companies, and you can be one of them.
My SCORE counselor taught me how to create a business plan and make sound financial projections so that I could get a small business loan. I don't think I could have approached my bank so confidently without SCORE's help.
SCORE mentors can help with business planning, cash flow management, and market analysis.
My SCORE mentor walked me through the steps of identifying a market, researching the competition, pricing my product, and so much more.
Call SCORE at 800-634-0245 to meet with experts who have been in your shoes.
All I really needed was a sounding board for my ideas, someone I could trust. My SCORE counselor talked me through my business questions and gave me the courage I needed to expand.
If you're a small business owner or thinking about starting a company, call SCORE today, 800-634-0245, or visit score.org for free confidential advice. SCORE is a nonprofit association and a resource partner with the U.S. Small Business Administration.
It's time to stop what you're doing and go red for women.
Go red.
Start loving your heart today. Visit goredforwomen.org.
Go red.
And take the Go Red Heart Checkup. Get to know your own heart.
Go red.
The American Heart Association invites you to help stop heart disease.
Go Red!
To Go Red for Women and give your heart the love it deserves.
My name is Teresa. I was a good mother. Then I tried meth and quickly became addicted. I abandoned my little girl to chase my next high. 8 months later, my daughter begged me to come home. Her plea made me enter drug treatment. My recovery wasn't easy, but I've been clean for 4 years now.
Meth is a powerful drug that affects everyone. If you know someone who's using, get involved. Treatment is available and it works. For more information, visit methresources.gov or call 800-662-HELP. Sponsored by Office of National Drug Control Policy.